Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, Bridge Lady, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars for Stardate 3922. Hope everybody out there is doing fantastic. Got a great show ahead of us this evening. Got a lot of stuff to cover and a lot of good news and some less than good news, but nevertheless, get down to business. Call roll because class is in. Pass it around the room. Introduce my esteemed panel. So starting off in that fantastic state of Arkansas, Granny Hulkster, how are you doing this evening, ma'am?
Well, I'm doing very well. Thank you, Dave. I mean, it's been kind of a busy week, you know. Got a wrestling show coming up Saturday that I'm looking very forward to attending and helping the wrestlers with a meet and greet tomorrow night up in Rogers, Arkansas. We're going to have some of the wrestlers there for Saturday's show, so I'm excited about that.
Outstanding. Well, yeah, we're looking forward to the report coming in from that wrestling show. That is faux show.
Well,
I imagine you guys.
Now the wrestling big report that you all are referring to is when I get back from WrestleMania in April. So, you know, that'll be another. This is just a local independent show that I'm going to be attending Saturday night. So. Up in Bentonville, Arkansas, close to where I live.
Oh, Bentonville. That's me and Todd's favorite town, formerly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We all know that's where the Death Star is located, Bentonville, Arkansas. But, Granny, fantastic to have you aboard this evening.
Thank you.
I hope everything is going well on your end. Now, we're going to swat it over to the young man who got into class just when the bell was ringing. Hopefully back from the sick bay and feeling much better, my good brother. Tim, what shaketh?
I was kind of like that kid running down the hallway. You know the bell's going to ring. You're doing the countdown on your clock, and you slide into class right as the teacher's shutting the door. That's like that's the closest I've called that. Hey there, Dave, and all, long time. First time caller, just kidding. Doing wonderful. I'm much better than I was last week. It was not COVID related, believe it or not, but I did have a stomach bug, and we all got to share in the joy here around the Armstrong household. It was wonderful. Nonetheless, I'm back, ready for a good show, and sounds like our good pal Todd is back on. I know he was on last week. So looks like we're going to have an awesome show tonight.
Most definitely, and it's great to have you back, young man. And, yeah, that stomach bug is nasty because there's no way of getting rid of it. The only way you can do it is just barf it out. When you get it, you just know you're in for 72 hours worth of just bad news. And, yeah, everybody says, well, drink Gatorade or unsettled Jell-O. No, all you can do is just die. And then when you're finished dying, you can get on back to living. Yeah. That's some nasty stuff. But, man, good to have you back. I hope everybody in the house is feeling better and back to kicking ass as usual.
Yes, yes.
So we have a special guest this evening, special in more way than one, of course, and I hope he's back because he broke away for a minute. If not, I will move on to our next panelist. But our long-lost host, the man, the puppet master, the brains behind the operation, and we're not claiming that too loudly, Dr. John. How are you doing?
Dr. John is doing great, and Dave, thank you for that introduction. I really appreciate it. It might not be so deserved, but I want to say thank you so much. Been working hard. Doing lots of paranormal stuff and just having a great time enjoying life. So I wanted to say thanks so much. And I wanted to be on tonight for a couple of reasons, and we'll talk about those later. But anyway, thank you for that, and just so glad to be here. the one, the only, the pop culture stars.
I'm right. And it's great to have you back, man. We miss you. We miss the input. And poor old Granny takes all the ribbing when you're not around. So, my God, it's good to have you back. A different set of ribs we can poke.
Granny will get a break tonight.
Granny, you're going to get a break tonight for sure. I'm gonna catch hell on wheels tonight, but that's okay. I'll protect you for this, okay?
Well, thank you very much. I need a protection I can get, so.
Absolutely. But we love Granny Hulkster. I'll tell you what, she is one world champion wrestling fan. And that's what I've got to say.
Absolutely.
And Dave and Todd and Mitt, I know you will agree with me. She is a world champion wrestling fan.
Definitely. And a big part of the pop culture family, without a doubt, man. It's good to have her aboard, as it is you this evening. Absolutely. Now, I am going to swat it over to that fine city of Indianapolis, my returning brother, Anchorman, who has a very special announcement tonight. Brother Todd, what's going on?
Not much, but to follow up on Granny asking for a break. Hey, one break coming up. The whole lot of little Diamond Dave for Diamond Dave. doing outstanding to Supernatural and kind of slid in just to we covered some stuff in the green room that we'll not cover on the show. But I did want to bring up something else. Seems to me this Sunday, I think it's this Sunday, there's an event coming, but we kind of have a tradition about doing a birthday roast. So before we get completely to that, I know Dr. John wanted to get some stuff done, so let's go ahead and we'll let Dr. John cover what he's got. He's got something that should be passed. And I'm not talking like a stone or anything. or gas bubble. He's got some information that needs to be passed, just to be a little less cryptic. We'll let him do that, and then we'll put somebody on the hot table.
Sounds like a plan.
Well, thank you, Todd. I really appreciate it. And I wanted to say this because I actually guested on someone's podcast last night, and I talked about this. And it is called the Black Swan Event. This is something that very rarely happens, and it is a surprise to the economy. And what I can tell you is that based on, and I'm sorry, I'm going to have to get into this, and if anyone gets mad, sorry, just get mad at me later. But the fact is, because of the economic practices of our current administration, we have got some serious problems. And the fact is, we've got higher gas prices. In Myrtle Beach, in the Myrtle Beach area, we finally broke $4. We're at $4.09 in most every gas station, and sometimes $4.13. And I'm terrified at what's going to happen. So we've got higher gas prices, and this is something that's going to affect everybody. Number one, number two, we've got problems with gold and silver prices. Gold and silver are skyrocketing like mad. Gold is over $2,000 an ounce. And it's interesting that none of the press talks about this. I remember very well the last time that gold hit $2,000 an ounce. We had never seen that. And Jesus, you know, everybody talked about how incredible this was, but now they're not talking about it. The press wants to pander this administration. So we've got higher gas prices, higher gold and silver prices, which means the value of your currency is going down. I mean, I don't know what to say, but you better be careful.
Wait a second. But I thought we were on a gold-based currency. Let me throw that out there for you. Take that.
I'm sorry.
Is it the general consensus or thought process we're on a gold-based currency, as in Fort Knox, all that kind of stuff?
Well, I don't think so. I think we are on a currency that has no backing. But we're still the strongest currency in the world, the United States. But I'll tell you what, it's just terrifying what's going to happen. And I wanted to mention that to everybody that, you know, if you got any extra money, put it in gold and put it in silver. Be careful with what you spend, because I'll tell you what, your money is not going to be worth as much as it was yesterday today. So that's all I've got to say, and I just wanted to mention that. I think it's important. So please remember, save what you've got and be careful with what you spend, because that stuff is might be going away. So please be careful. And that's what Dr. John's that's my message tonight. And I hope everybody is okay with that, but it's the truth. Be careful with what you're doing with your money. Okay?
Yeah, nothing but the truth, because, you know, 18 months ago, we were doing probably the best we had done since the Reagan administration, and then oddly enough, with the switch of leadership. But the good news is that there's a lot of people out there tonight who don't have their feelings hurt from being on social media. So, you know, that's good. I don't mind paying $6 a gallon for gas if people don't have their feelings hurt on Twitter. So, yay, verily. Kick ass. One quick question, Dr.
Yeah.
John, before we move on.
Yes,
about
sir.
The whole gasoline situation. So we don't do fracking or refining or exploration or have the Keystone open here in the United States right now because of what it does to the environment, correct?
That is what is said.
Okay, so my question
is, good answer.
Why all the fracking and exploratory and refining oil in Iran or Russia any less detrimental to the environment than it is doing it here? So in other words, if I get a sunburn in Iran, I could get a sunburn here, correct?
That
if
is
I
correct.
Drop a piece of trash in the Pacific Ocean, it's like dropping a piece of trash in the Indian Ocean too, right? The same effect.
That is correct.
So,
and what I can tell you is that the current administration is calling up Argentina to see if we can get oil and gas from them. I mean, because right now in Europe, the European Union is trying to get rid of their dependence of oil and gas on Russia. So they're looking to us, and the administration, they're going to countries like Argentina to find out what they can do to help us. But we shouldn't be doing that. We had tons and tons of oil and gas resources. So everybody needs to realize that we're just being
for a second.
Puppets.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to play devil's advocate, and I'm not taking either side. I don't really have a biased opinion. I'm speaking as somebody who took environmental science and decided to look at a couple of websites. I just want to point out, because I kind of remembered hearing this when I was in school, and I'm going to read this straight from a website.
Okay.
And I'm going to just summarize it. Good Lord, let me find. Hang on, I apologize. I missed my little pair. Here it is, right here. The United States has proven, and this is an unbiased webpage, worldometers.info. No, I do not know the validity of this website. It seems pretty valid to me. And I would agree with this statistic because, as I said, I remember hearing this back when I was in school. So paragraph here says, the United States has proven reserves equivalent to 4.9 times its annual consumption.
This means that without imports, there would be about 5 years of oil left at current consumption levels and excluding unproven reserves. So basically, if we did not import any oil at all, we would run out of oil within 5 years. And I remember hearing that in class. I just want to throw it out there. Oba.
Okay, now last
all right.
week.
Hey, I think we got somebody in the queue.
I got you. Yeah, I heard last week that we had 110 years worth in reserve right now as we speak. That is post-Trump administration, of course. So, yeah, that's – yeah, I just don't know when you sit back and you watch the whole
– Right, right.
Yeah, watch the whole country. You know, you would think that the easy answer to fixing everything, and as I was saying yesterday, I says, you know, they speak, you know, one of these days I'm going to start a GoFundMe page to get a new door put on the back of this house. You know, now I lost the train of thought, but when it comes down
to hopefully you were getting somebody in from the queue.
Oh, most definitely. Let me break away from that gas ramp. And
I didn't know what train of thought we had to follow. Go ahead and get somebody from the queue.
No, we're good. Papa Stro, what's shaking, man?
Hi, guys. How you doing? Been a while. Been a bit. I hope you all are well.
All good,
yes, sir.
Brother.
I hope you're
doing How are you?
Hey, yeah, great. Great to be here back with you all. On this fine evening.
Yeah, it's good to have you aboard.
Hey,
appreciate
thing
you joining
I want to point out, I am going to point out that I got some stale data. That report was as of 2016. So who knows, like I said, what it is today.
Yeah, post-Obama, because this is kind of like the Obama 3.0 that we got going on right now. But there was a graphic today that I read that a gentleman out of Alabama wrote this, and he was talking about how the price of gas, and bear with me while I give you the numbers because I might have a couple of the numbers skewed here and there, but he said if you work a 40-hour week, or not a 40-hour week, but if you work 5 days a week, and you have a 15-mile round trip, in other words, 7.5 miles to work, 7.5 miles back, which to me is kind of lowballing, but nevertheless, we're going to use that because that's what he had. The gas is projected to go to $6 a gallon plus in July. Okay, so come July, the way he was factoring it in, if you take the average gas mileage of a car at 24, 25 miles per gallon is what he was going. You know, for some of us, we get 13. Some of us get 40, depending on what we drive. He used 24 miles a gallon as kind of the 50-yard line on it. And he was taking that mileage up against the 15 miles, 5 days a week thing. And that's just to go back and forth to work. That doesn't count picking up kids, running for groceries. That is just driving back and forth to work. That we are going to spend in the ballpark of $20,000 to $22,000 annually on gasoline just to get to work. And for a lot of people, and you know, him being out of Alabama, he mentioned that the wages in Alabama are some of the lowest in the nation. So what's going to happen is a lot of people are going to be driving to work to pay for the gas. And you're already hearing about it in California, but you know, California's its own worst enemy, where people are having to pick up a second job to pay for the gas for the first job. And to me, that's almost like digging the hole deeper to a certain extent. But what this gentleman was arguing in this article was that by the time the dust settles and your average Alabamian, or whatever they call themselves in Alabama, gets done paying for the gas, still have in the ballpark of $5,600 annually to spend on rent, light bill, water, food, insurance, and all that good stuff. And to me, that is absolutely crippling news. It's just and everything from our defense to how we make a ham sandwich depends on petroleum. You know what I mean? You got to get the product to the stores. You got to get the employees to work. You've got to fuel those battleships. I mean, for Christ's sake, the Nimitz doesn't have sails. You know, it takes fuel. And if you think an electric car, and that's one of the things that old Pete Buttplug was pushing the other day was, well, we're trying to push everybody towards an electric car. Okay, well, electric car starts at about $40,000. Now, I don't know about you guys. I'm not independently wealthy. I'm getting along, but I damn sure ain't got money for a $40,000 vehicle right now.
Well, let me ask you, how much does a replacement battery cost? You just really don't hear about this. And how do they get the materials to make the battery? Oh, and what do you do to dispose of one, and what are the fire hazards with them?
Wow, very good point.
Takers?
Yeah,
any takers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
because they're not the environmental cure-all, fix-all, just like the junkyards of the wind turbine blades that they can't do anything with. But anyhow,
did you guys
really want to change tax here to something positive?
Well, before you do, did you guys hear that Saudi Arabia pretty much laughed the White House out of the block today because the old man in there, right, was wanting to discuss it with them about getting oil from them, right?
Yeah.
And they won't even answer his phone. They pretty much said he was a two-face in the interview, one of the representatives, and won't talk to him.
Yeah. They know they got us on the ropes.
I just read that today, man. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
I ain't shocked. And they're trying to shove it in our face. Yeah. Incredible.
You're not saying all the stuff that they've said previously coming back to haunt him. Why do you think he's trying to cozy up to Iran?
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Well, that's what his boss was doing. So, you know. But, you know, Superman was always famous for trying to sell kryptonite to Lex Luthor, so it makes all kinds of sense to me. I mean, I don't know. It's just mind-numbing that we have people. And, you know.
The guy in office right now, he makes Otis look like Albert Einstein.
So I'm with it. Yeah. And a lot of these people who live, folks that live in these big cities and have the one-bedroom apartments for $1,600 a month and everything, they act like, you know, well, I don't have a car. What does everybody need cars for? You know, there's families out there that got two or three cars. What does everybody need a car for? Move your ass down here to Jacksonville, and I'll show you what we need a car for.
It's all right. You know what? First off, they can stay there. That's beside the point. But eventually, everything that they use to be able to run the transit system or use the taxi, we're going to stay in the tangent, apparently. Let me tell you, I'd be surprised if we all don't know somebody who has previously or currently had been doing some sort of the food delivery, any service, Uber Eats, whatever, type side gig. I think those prices, because are about to go up, and or they'll be lucky to find drivers because that gig is not going to be economical.
Correct.
It's your tip. If you're thinking about your driver, you're going to, it's automatically your tip has just gotten bigger just to take care of your driver.
Yeah.
Because
try for that, try for that moonshine. That corn.
That's about right. I don't know. It's unreal, man. And, you know, Todd, you bring up a very good point. All the ancillary things that these folks utilize, you know, it goes back to the Greta Thunberg conversation. You know, she has a big conference in Germany. Okay, so how did you get there? Did you walk? Well, no, I took a plane. Okay, well, the plane didn't fly on, you know, fairy juice, for God's sake. It flew on jet fuel. You know, you didn't walk there. You didn't swim there. You got there via a plane. The plane just didn't flap its goddamn wings. So, again, you know, when you talk
about... Yeah, it ate the Flintstones. It ate the Flintstones.
Yeah, exactly. It ate the Flintstones. Right. So, but anyhow, enough of the blues. We're going to pass it over. We've got some...
the booze.
We've got some more pressing events to attend to. So, Todd, if you would, drum roll. Start us off.
Y'all, where we've done birthday roast now and again. And we have somebody, our guest of honor. I'm thinking it's coming this Sunday. If I'm right, somebody has a birthday coming up. And I would be remiss in my duties if I were not to bring it up and give us an opportunity to sprinkle some fertilizer on the birthday dinner plate of one Tim. Happy birthday, brother. Oh. You got a birthday coming this Sunday.
All right.
Let the shenanigans begin.
Everybody call me a heel. I can take it.
Young man. Still the young man of the group. Don't matter.
Yeah, that's true.
And just to be clear, all right, I do have a legit birthday gift for
something to match a bottle of pills on my desk.
It's actually, it's... Despite how much, I know how much you need those, so you're going to keep those. But I'll be bringing something back in, and I'll put this out in the air because this is a heck of a good guy. There's a guy we work with named Wendell. I'm guessing you probably know where this is going, Tim. He's got a side hobby of making homemade maple syrup.
It is freaking amazing, too. I've had it before. Amazing.
Really?
Okay. And I will, he swung by the office today, and he dropped a stash off, and I will be leaving a bottle in your workspace for you, unless you want me to deliver it in another fashion.
Nope, that's fine.
But, yeah, that came up. I mentioned to him that was more than I was going to use. I was like, man, what about Tim? And he was like, oh, yeah.
Now, maybe I should clarify this. Maybe I should be clear. You can leave it on my desk in the bottle. Don't pour it all over my desk.
Well, actually, I worry about it getting lifted. If anybody knows, no, dude, this guy, this is like legit the real homemade syrup process routine.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Really good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what, Tim? I'll tell you where I'll stash it and you can come get it. How's that?
That's ought to be good.
Oh, right. No. Okay, in my cube?
I got you.
On the left side, up high, bunker I keep open, unlocked. I'll put it in there. And that way it's out of sight.
Hey, for all you malicious, nefarious freaks out there, you have to have a building pass to get in, so don't even think about it, all right?
Oh, yeah, there are all kinds of special electronic locks, secret handshakes, and all that to get into the space. So, yeah, I talked to, again, Wendell. He passes happy birthday wishes, so I wanted to get the legitimacy out before the shenanigans. But, yeah, because I understand, if I remember correctly, your Kim rather likes that stuff.
Oh, yes. Yes.
You're going to be a hero, Tim.
Yes, I am. And much thanks to you. Much thanks to Wendell. You might see him before I do. I haven't talked to that guy for quite a while. But, yes, he does make some awesome syrup. Good stuff.
It's crazy the people you meet in life. But, yeah, all right. So, sorry we did something nice. I know that kind of throws our whole birthday roast out of whack. But, let's go back and, you know, let the evil commence.
Just need to find somebody in your office that makes pancakes.
Ha! Well, I've got some people that I consider flapjacks, but that's another issue.
Oh, nice. Nice. Very good. Yeah, Tim, so, and you are still the, as Todd alluded to, the least of the age of the group here. So hopefully your balls don't dip in the water when you're on the turlet. That's good news. But, yeah, getting old isn't all that bad. As I often say about me, I am 51 years of age with a 13-year-old brain and 78-year-old knees. So it just all depends on where everything factors out on how you celebrate. So is the household crowd going to throw you a blast since it's on a Sunday, for crying out loud? I mean, I don't know how many times I've had birthdays on Wednesdays and that kind of crap, and it just, like, takes the steam right out of it. But if you got one on a weekend, you got a fighting shot. You guys doing it, right?
Yeah, and back in my party days, I actually didn't even really care for it to be on a Sunday, because when you're partying, you go out at night. It's almost like your birthday doesn't even start till, you know, 8, 9 o'clock at night. I'm not going to say that the thunder is stolen, because I don't really, you know how it is. You guys are older than I am. So once you're our age, it's kind of like it's not that it's lost its luster, but, you know, it's not as big of a deal anymore. I kind of like to fly under the radar, so to speak. And I share the birthday with my oldest stepdaughter. So, you know, that's kind of a common thing. I usually let her pick where we go out. So I think we're going to go to Wahlburgers Sunday with the rest of the family.
Very good.
So that's pretty
wait,
much.
There's one of those locally?
Oh, yeah. It opened up in Carmel. I think it opened up right before all this pandemic crap, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe in the middle of it. I can't remember, but it's not been there that long. It's
well,
been coming
hell.
Off.
Huh.
Yeah, they've got one here in Myrtle Beach, and the food was excellent, but the service was god-awful. You know how sometimes you go to a place and an event kind of just sticks out in your mind? You know, a certain particular thing happens and it just always, like, embedded in your memory for one reason or another. We felt so
is that
unwell.
Like your first colonoscopy?
Yes. Yes, when they were playing the damn Lou Rawls music in the back. But, yeah, we felt like we were intruding in that building that evening. And it was slow, and it was in the evening time. I say the evening time. It was, you know, post-dinner, 9-ish kind of ballpark. And, I mean, they stayed open till 2, and we got in there, you know, 9:30 ballpark, and, man, we walked in, and the girl behind the bar rolled her eyes, and I was like, my fly down, my deodorant good? You know, okay, it's okay. And she walked up and down the bar.
I've seen how you dress, Dave.
I had my Charles Manson Employee of the Month shirt on. And, yeah, I mean, it looked as if she was actually debating or whether to come over and tell us we had a table. And after she paced back and forth like a panther in a zoo a couple times, she came back around and she says, 2. I said, yes, ma'am. And she just started walking. So we followed her, and she tossed the menus on the table and turned around and hollered for this guy. I can't remember his name, but I mean hollered, like out in the yard hollered his name out. And this kid comes out, and he looks almost like he looks kind of like a dopey Waldo is what he looked like, except for not the red stripes and everything. And he comes out, and she just walks away. I mean, the only word she said to us when we were there was 2. So we got there, and the poor kid that was taking our order, he looked like he was terrified to take our order. And I was like, yeah, can I just, you know, get a Budweiser and, you know. Okay. And I'm like, okay, am I scaring this kid with, you know, asking for a Budweiser or what? But, yeah, it was but when food got there, the food was really, really good. But, man, it was some epic, horrible. And it's a shame, man, because I hear nothing but good coming out of them Wahlburgers, man. And when you have an experience like that, you're like, damn, you know, I know this isn't what this crowd means, you know.
But why do I almost imagine hearing her call the name for the waiter like Minnie Pearl used to yell out?
Yeah, howdy. Except she wasn't yelling to him. She was yelling at him. There's a big difference between the two. But,
oh, God,
yeah,
it's Wallowitz's mom from the Big Bang.
There you go. But yeah, that's cool, Tim. You go on out there and enjoy some time with the fam and everything. But I will tell you this. I will disagree with you about how the older you get, the less important it is. And let me explain to you real quick. You know, there was a point in my life.
Notice he used the Carolina splain. Not explain, but splain. Which is not
splain.
To be confused with your spleen.
Correct. And there's no X's in splain. You're splaining it. So there was a time in my life things weren't quite going the way they should be. And, you know, I was pretty much convinced that I'd be gone, as I often jest, that the good Lord would finally wash the shit stains out of his panties and I would die in my early 30s. And then the world would be a better place because Dave would no longer be in it, polluting it. But then, of course, met Dale, and things turned around for me. So, you know, when I hit 40, I was kind of standing there looking around going, okay, what the hell do I do now? I'm supposed to be dead. Hadn't planned for all this shit. So anyhow, I started thinking, you know, I'm not necessarily on borrowed time, but to a certain extent, the way I was going back in those days, perhaps in a way I am. So, celebrating birth days, I celebrate birth week. So that entire week belongs to me. And for 7 straight days, like Hanukkah, but birthday-wise, I don't like no candles, but I try to have the best time for a birth week. So I've been doing that now, coming up on 12 years here in May. And if I make it to 60, by God, I will start having birth months. And then, of course, 20 years later, in the event, God willing, I make it to 80, every damn day is going to be a birthday. That's how I look at it. So, yeah, whatever you do, don't discredit the celebration. Enjoy it. Savor it. You got your family right there. Because there's going to come a time when it's just going to be you and the wife staring one another in the face. And it's going to be, hey, I made reservations at Applebee's for your birthday. So whatever you do, like I said, just don't act like it's a just another day of the week, because God, by God, it actually does mean something. And it took me 40 years to figure that shit out. But, yeah, and now, you know, now that I'm in my 50s, man, I'm like, this is neat. What I need to do is, like, whoop it up. Hell, yeah. It takes 51 yeah. candles. They got to get the volunteer fire department out here for the cake. So damn bit.
I agree with you. It's not like I shouldn't act like that. It is. There is a different. It's tough to explain, but there's always a different feel when I wake up that morning. So it is a special day, but it's not one. I guess I should put it like this. I don't really care to make a big fuss with everybody else about it. You know what I mean? I just tend to keep to myself, and I just kind of have my own self-reflections about the day and whatnot. But for the day itself, I just, you know, as long as the family is together, that's all I need. And, you know, like I said, I tend to let Taylor kind of make the choice as to where we go out. So she's got good taste in restaurants, so I'm usually happy with her choices. So, but, yeah, I am looking forward to getting the family together.
Damn right. And right now she's making reservations at Chili's just because we're talking shit about Applebee's. Hey, look, I don't want to go to Applebee's. It's real tacky. Hey, can we go to a place that's less tacky? All right, we're going to Chili's.
Man, I'm hearing that damn Adam Sandler movie, Red Lobster.
Oh, there you go. Hell, Red Lobster, man. Yeah. I don't know if you've been in there lately, but the damn... You got to stick a quarter in the menu for it to open up. They've gotten pretty proud. I'll go in there, drink ice water, and eat their damn biscuits, and then leave. That place is a straight chokehold here lately.
Well, I don't know. Seafood is pretty extraordinary. But then again, where you're at, Dave, kind of spoiled with the different outlets where you can go and get a lot of fresh stuff that's you've got a great variety of fresh fish. You've got a great variety of shellfish that you can get. When I say shellfish, the oysters and the clams, you can do that. I remember, you know, the kids in high school with my son, what do you guys want to do? Well, let's go clamming. Okay. Yeah, you know, I mean, really? And if they're not doing that, they're going out shrimping. Oh, let's go catch, while we're out clamming, let's go catch some crabs, too. We'll put out some crab pots. Not everybody can do that, brother. Because let me tell you right now, that ain't happening up here.
I don't want to get crabs either. So, yeah, I don't blame him.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, Stro. The wife would fully encourage me to go out on a Friday night to come back with a case of crabs.
She's a brave woman.
Yeah.
She's a brave woman.
Funny you mention that, Todd, because me and Dale just the other day, we're having the same conversation to a certain extent, because you know how we're always running to the beach and doing the shelling and all that jazz. Well, we've got like a ragu jar full of shark's teeth that we've picked up over the years, right? And I said,
nice.
I said, we got a whole damn jar of these things. I says, ain't that? I says, I reckon it's going to get to the point where we just need to quit picking these damn things up. And then I stopped and I says, but you know what? I got a whole jar full of these things. I bet you there's somebody in Nebraska right now going, man, I ain't got no shark's teeth. Dale looked at me. She's like, why did I marry you? I bet there's a guy in Manitoba, Canada right now going, man, I wish I had a jar full of shark's teeth. And here I am.
There is.
There's some gum and shark somewhere. Just gumming it
damn
out.
Damn right.
No teeth. No teeth.
Oh, that's hilarious.
They're all talking about Herbert. Got no teeth.
They have to go. They have to catch the Golden Acres buffet with the pre-chewed food.
that's a lot of super polygrip. That's all.
That's it. They get you some Gerber. So just for the record, Granny, how many shark's teeth have you found in Arkansas?
None.
Ah, there's my point. See?
But I do have a funny story I want to share with you guys. This happened several years ago when Anthony was like 3 or 4 years old when we first moved to Arkansas. I got a funny story to share with you all. It doesn't have anything to do with shark's teeth, but it has something to do with fish, blind fish, you might say. You know, over in... we lived at Holiday Island over by Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and there was a cave called Cosmic Cavern that was over in Berryville, Arkansas, and they would take you on these tours. Well, there was one little area you had to bend over and walk underneath this wooden plank. So here I am hanging on to Anthony's hand. You know, he's in front of me, you know, and everything, and we're walking, and all of a sudden, my glasses fall off and hit the board. Well, I went to pick up my glasses, and somebody bumped me from behind, and my glasses went into the bottomless lake. Now, in the bottomless lake, they have those, they're called cavefish. I mean, and they're blind. They can't see. I mean, because it's so dark down there, you know, they can't see. And so I was joking about, I said, well, some little blind fish has my glasses. Now, that was before Granny was ever came along. That was before Granny was ever thought of. Now, I told Anthony, I said, now, when we go home,
what an origin
story. You don't need to say anything to Grandma and Grandpa about this. Well, the first thing he does, he goes running in. Grandma, Grandpa, guess what? Mommy lost her glasses in the cave, and now a blind fish can see because that fish has Mommy's glasses.
And the fish's name is Mr. Limpet.
They're,
I don't
oh,
know.
God.
You know, but yeah, so I had to, needless to say, I had to get a new pair of glasses from that ordeal.
God, I hadn't seen that movie in ages. That's, I wonder if that's on anything streaming. That was Don Knotts.
Yeah,
thanks,
yes,
Todd.
It was.
So, this evening, instead of looking up porn after the show tonight, I'll be Googling, who's streaming Mr. Limpet?
you may still find something else when you ask who's streaming Mr. Limp.
Mr. Limpet, yeah.
Well, going back, you know, Dave, speaking on that, if you search Granny Bends Over, then you might actually get something toward the former.
Oh, that's
well,
right.
Well, like I said, Tim, that was before Granny that was before the Granny Holster days, way before.
Well,
that reminds me of that Top Secret scene with the movie with Val Kilmer starring in it, and his buddies were like putting on the cow outfit, right? And the guy Nigel, who ended up being a traitor, kept saying that he wanted the other end of the cow, insisting he wanted to, you know, put on the other end of the cow, right? And the other guy says, "Fine, be an asshole.
Nice.
Yeah, man. Well, nice. You know, Tim, going back to your birthday thing, man, I got to tell you, it's, you know, my 50th birthday was in 2020. And for the longest time, man, I kept saying, man, if I make it to 20, I'm going to throw a bash. I'm going to have the time of my life. And, of course, that was the early onset of Corona. And, of course, you know, at that time, we didn't know it was all a bunch of baloney. We're just walking around wondering if we're going to, you know, live for the next 2 months. So I have been secretly planning my revenge and trying to get the finances to fall into place and just turn around and say, hey, everybody meet me at so-and-so's. We're going to get tore up. And tomorrow morning, we're going to maybe wake up and not remember a damn thing. But we'll always remember something happened. But wouldn't it be cool to walk in there and just get all grandiose at the event place you're going to? And when they say, when the staff comes up and goes, oh, wow, which one do you celebrate? 40, 50, 60? No, I'm celebrating 53. 53. How many 53 birthday cards do you think you can find out there? You know, it's or you can always do like I do, just go out and buy a 51 and write 2 over the 0 and say, here you go. I made a homemade 52-year-old card. So.
I like it. Now, Tim, do you have, like, any birthday traditions, dude, with the family? So you've been sharing it with the oldest stepdaughter. So how do you guys, you know, what part's yours, what part's hers, that kind of stuff? What do you got going on for you?
Well, I will point out that I don't think I said it earlier, but usually, you know, me being the youngest of three boys, I'm kind of a mama's boy. And, you know, relatively close to home, I'm only about 15, 20 minutes away from where I grew up. So I will be, of course, mom's already been, she's been talking about what I want to do since, you know, like this time February. So we're going over there. It'll just be four of us, me, the wife, and the youngest two. We're going over there. She's going to cook some homemade lasagna. I absolutely love it.
Nice.
Friday. Yeah, so that'll be Friday night. That's pretty much me. And then, you know, so that's pretty much it. I don't really, you know, like I said, I don't care to make a big deal out of it. I don't need to. If I want anything for my birthday, I mean, hell, I'm kind of the breadwinner of the family anyway. Kim does work, but I've got, you know, I'll just go out and get something. I'll say, hey, I'm going to go get this for my birthday, and then I'll go get it. You know what I mean? So, yeah. You know, more or less be something that everybody can take advantage of. Like, I've been tossing around the idea of getting an outdoor heater, you know, those propane heaters that stand real tall and you can stand under them. It can be like 40 below and you don't know it, and it's nice and 72 degrees. Thinking about getting one of those just so that I don't freeze my ass off when I get out of the hot tub. So, you know, maybe do that. But nothing really else specific. It's just all about, you know, and I think Taylor probably does her own thing too. But, you know, so Sunday is when we'll come. I think we might have moved it to Saturday. Regardless, you know, we'll go out and have our – March is kind of a busy birthday month for us. I don't know if I've shared this before, but – myself and Taylor are on the 13th. Exactly 1 week later is my daughter, Rachel. She's got a pretty big milestone. She'll be 13 this year. So she is the 20th. And then the 27th, another exact week after, is Kim's birthday. So we're all right there. And then there's plenty of other extended family that also have March birthdays. They're just one right after the other. So usually we even have, and I think Kim's parents will go out with us probably Saturday, but they usually try to do, if we don't get to go out, you know, somewhere close to mine, then we usually go out as kind of a bigger
Kim's parents go, mine may go, you know, and then whoever else. And they like to go to Red Robin. I'm kind of over Red Robin. Don't tell them I said that. But, you know, it, all in all, it's just nice to have family together. I am looking forward to Wahlburgers, though. Been there once, loved it, ready to go back.
The, I hear you. Oh, man. So have you ever thought about, if they give you the choice, pick a place you know that nobody else likes and then try to do the reverse guilt trip when they all fuss?
It wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. This family, they have perfected the guilt trip and reverse guilt trip on me. There's no way I stand a chance. I'm too passive. I give up, you know. I'll start to go down the road, and I'm like, yeah, but whatever, guys. So, it wouldn't even work.
So I'm guessing you just take your pampering and suck it up.
Pretty much, yep. Pretty much.
You know, bearing in mind that you're the youngest of the panel here this evening, Tim, I'm sitting here trying to think of what kind of birthday presents we can get you. All right? But I don't want to get you something you already have, all right? So I had the thought about getting, you know, that little telephone with the red receiver with the rolly eyes that you pull it along with the string and it goes ding, 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 ding. Didn't know if you had one of them.
What about the little popcorn popper type thing on the end of the stick that you roll along?
Yeah, there you go. That was a little lawnmower thing that goes around, you know. I also had in my hand the Terminator box set, but then I got to thinking, those are rated R movies. Can't have you watching those. So if we can toss the old jokes around, by God, we can toss the young jokes around. So, yeah. Hell yeah. We'll maybe get you Barney the Dinosaur to come sing at your birthday party. So he can be out there. I love you. You love me. Yeah, that hook that right on up. Get you some crayons. 64-pack because it's birthday, man. Ain't going to stick you with the 16. I'm going to get you that 64 with the sharpener in the back.
Stuff right there.
Wait a minute. You think that's unsafe for him?
Yeah, just don't stick your appendages in it. Put the crayons in it.
Todd, okay. You and I both know a pack of crayons. I'm going to be sharing it with some folks that you and I know well where I work.
Just saying. Look, all I know is if you open up a box of 64 crayons there, you'll just get some nibblings left of about 12.
Funny crayon story. Yes. There's two crayon stories that I got to share with you guys. One is me and my brother, we got 4 years apart from one another. And my brother, he was like two. And he was always up in my shit. You know, I'm sitting here trying to play with my Star Trek guys because it's before Star Wars, and my man's always up in my stuff, man, just bashing my scene, throwing my Captain Kirk, you know. So one day I'm playing with my Star Trek guys, and I turn around and my brother.
Wait, is that some sort
of
euphemism? I was throwing my Captain Kirk.
I was tossing my McCoy back in them days. Don't touch your Spock, Dave. I wasn't. But my
Don, you keep doing that, you're going to go blind. I'm over here, Dad.
That's right. Yeah, I'm over here. I appreciate it, Ray Charles. My brother is probably sitting 6 feet from me, chilling in his Mickey Mouse shirt and diaper, and this my man is eating an orange, you know them primary crayons, them great big fat ones? He's eating the damn thing. Paper and all, right? So I look up at him. I see him meal it down hard on this orange crayon. I'm like, good for him. He's leaving me alone. I kept playing with my Star Trek guys. I was getting it. Next thing I know, my mom comes in. And, oh, my God. Well, she gets my brother, takes the crayon from him. right? Starts sticking her finger in his mouth. You know, you got to remember this is like 76, you know. You know, oh, my God, he's going to die. He's going to die, getting everything out. By the time she got settled down and found out my brother wasn't going to die, she walked over there and beat my ass like she owned me. And I was like, wait, I get thumped all the time for telling him to leave me the hell alone. And now here I am leaving him alone. You're beating my ass. What's going on here? She's like, you saw your brother was eating a crayon. You didn't stop him. And I was like, right. And I got my ass beat all over again for agreeing to the situation. So fast forward.
Well, I'm glad. It was orange. It was vitamin C. What do you want?
Yeah, and he looked content as hell when he was doing it. He couldn't have been happier. Maybe it tasted good. I've never tried it. I was always too busy eating paste and damn Play-Doh, for Christ's sake. Well, I've never tried the crayon. But there's a buddy of mine. We went
to high
school.
Oh, there we go. Hold on. Hold on. There we go. What kind of those Play-Doh factories still exist for Tim?
Ooh, yeah. And don't mix your colors because Play-Doh's expensive. You'll tear that stuff up. Put it in the correct can, damn it. The white goes
the
in
little
the white,
fuzzy barber pumper shop and stuff like that.
And don't leave it out because it's done for.
Yeah, because that stuff gets crusty as hell in a couple minutes if you don't keep playing with it. It goes there, but it smells good as hell. But a buddy of mine had a younger brother. It was one of those gigs where, like, I was 17 and my buddy was 17, and then his brother was, like, 17. So his brother was a pain in the ass. And every time I went over there, his brother was just being obnoxious as hell, being a nightmare, you know. So he had crayons, right? And he kept throwing the crayons at me, right? And I says, hey, Bradley, I got a neat trick for you. I said, you know, if you eat a crayon, your poop will come out that color crayon. Right? Just being a dick, right? Well, I get a phone call. Well, actually, I didn't get a phone call. My mom got a phone call later on that evening that apparently Bradley...
And how'd that work out for you?
Ah. Bradley short-tracked the idea. Instead of eating the crayon and let it go through the digestive system, he decided to take said crayon and shove it up his butt. And he didn't have a tether attached to it, so it stayed there. So, of course, they get him to the doctor. However you pull a crayon out of a six-year-old kid's butt, they did it. And the first thing out of that youngin's mouth was, Dave told me to do it. I gotten so much shit. Oh, God. And I was like, I didn't tell him to shove it up.
Right, well, let me ask you a question. Was it Crayola-covered shit?
I don't know. I was kind of, in a way, hoping he had just ate a brown crayon because then they wouldn't have noticed it, you know? But, yeah, I mean, I've got to hand it to the young man to be able to shove a crayon up his butt without, you know, causing a scene. That's pretty industrious. He was on a mission, you know, taking my suggestion to a new level, of course. But for all I know, that kid is probably like a Harvard professor now. But yeah, I got.
Oh, I'm sure. Last, if you go look, he's on. I'm sure he's in on a ethics panel for certain.
Yeah, he's probably a staffer at the White House right now. Yeah. Oh, hell.
That's not what I said, but okay.
Yeah, it's all good.
All right, Tim, you dodged us pretty well so far. Well, are you going to tell us how old are you actually going to be this year? And you can choose not to say.
Oh, I guess I don't care. I am going to be the nice, young, ripe age of 44 years young.
Wow.
All right, all right, well, I don't know, if nothing else, assuming we're still on the air, let's start the six-year countdown for the colonoscopy.
to colonoscopy and beyond.
My wife informed me, I think that they're trying, didn't they try to bounce that to where now they're saying you should start when you're 45? I could be off there. I feel like she was trying to convince me that that was the case. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know. I have yet to fall victim to it.
What I think would be interesting about that is it would be 369 days for you, if that's the case.
Yeah, buddy. You know the price is
You're
right.
Welcome for that one.
Bob Barker? Bob Barker always had that long microphone on The Price is Right. And the first time I ever saw one of those colonoscopy scopes or whatever they call it, I looked at it, and that's the first thing I thought about. I'm like, damn, I wonder if Bob Barker knows he's been talking into something that's been up somebody's ass. Because that's exactly what it looks like, you know. Like, somebody call Bob. Something is them. Well, I know Drew Carey's doing it now. There's probably not a whole lot that's been around, you know, that he hasn't touched. But, yeah. And I wonder, too, do they play Barry White music when you're getting that kind of stuff done? I mean, they, you know, they have Lou Rawls playing.
I don't know if I told this story. I had to go get scoped, and they were doing both ends. They were doubling down on me. And
did you buy him dinner first?
Well, I made sure. So the guy that was wheeling, I was on the gurney, and he's wheeling me back there for the procedure. And I told him, I go, hey, I go, just make sure they do the north end first, not the south end, because I don't want to wake up with the taste in my mouth going. And he started laughing so hard, he crashed me into the frickin' wall. He did. He crashed me into the damn wall. He's sitting there saying he's sorry while he's laughing. And, you know, I was like, you don't sound real sincere. And the other nurse started laughing, and she laughed at the comment, and she hit him like it was his fault that I was a smartass. That was hilarious.
Yeah, the least they can do is buy you flowers before the procedure. You know what I mean? It's take you to a movie, maybe.
Well, they damn sure don't let you eat beforehand.
Oh, no.
In truth, for those that have not had the procedure in and of itself, they med you up pretty well. You'll be like Bill Murray saying, you know, you'll be stoned to the bejesus belt. That's okay, but it is all the procedure prep that is absolutely horrible. Like most medical procedures that are invasive, you can't eat X amount of time beforehand. And it's kind of funny, just for the record, medical procedures. 6 a.m, you can't eat before midnight. You're after midnight. Well, you got your procedure at 3 p.m., you can't eat after midnight. Well, why the hell can I adjust that 6 hours? Because if I had it at 6 a.m., you'd let me eat at midnight the night before. But it's a whole, the clearing out stuff you got to take, it all tastes like garbage. And I will use that line from the woman that played Wolowitz's mom on The Big Bang Theory. I'm like an upside-down volcano here. And that's pretty much the case.
The problem that would kill me is the water because, Todd, you remember, I was a heavy Sundrop drinker, man. I drank Sundrop all damn day. Well, since I've left that line of work, I rarely drink soda. The only time I drink soda now is cutting some whiskey with it, you know. But just the same, though, water. has become my vice, and I drink water like you would not imagine. And today, Dale's on leave this week, and I was off today. So she says, "Hey, you know, you don't want to go around and look
day.
At the yeah, from the neck up." She says, "I want to go look at the thrift stores," and I was like, "All right, you know, I'll go pop tags with you." And I didn't even think nothing about it. When you shop with Dale, it is like a damn life sentence, dude. Chick will look at every damn item in a store and not buy anything. And it drives me crazy because I'm like, we done burnt 4 hours of daylight. And you're not going to buy anything? Just go buy something. I don't give a shit if it's a pack of, you know, fruit stripe or if it's goddamn $5,000 pair of shoes. Go buy something because I've pissed away 4 hours of my life just watching you look at every item in this building. So nevertheless, I'm in there walking around holding said items that she wanted to purchase today. And I went for like 3 solid hours without not taking a pull off my water. And I was feeling like SpongeBob when he went into Sandy's dome that time. And he's like, "I need it." I mean, I felt dried out as hell, man. And that was only 3 hours. I couldn't imagine having to go 12 hours and not being able to drink any damn water. I mean, God, shoot me now.
Well, I thought water was allowed normally, but maybe that was rules of change.
Yeah, I thought you couldn't have anything. And I will tell you this, in the event that I come up on it, I will be sneaking some damn ice chips because I have got to have some damn water. Sorry. One of them things. But, yeah, they have yet
to
yeah,
I prefer, me. I, generically
I prefer,
like sipping.
I prefer to drink more water. I don't like soda, so I like my water. And I remember one time I actually had to have my husband take me to the emergency room when I was having problems with my blood clots in my legs. And I thought I had another blood clot in my leg, and he took me to the emergency room. And this ER doctor, he's like, "I'm not going to die tonight." And I looked at that doctor and I said, "Are you God?" He says, "Excuse me?" I said, "Are you God?" He says, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And I said, "I could walk out of this hospital and collapse and die in your parking lot." I said, "How would that make you feel? You know, I have a history of blood clots. I've had a clot go to my lung once already. And if I hadn't been in the hospital when that happened, I would have been dead. I wouldn't have survived." So I said, "Don't sit there and tell me that I'm not going to die tonight because you have no clue." And he said, and that's when I found out I was a borderline diabetic. And he says, "Well, didn't you tell me you drank water like crazy?" And I said, "Stop right there." I said, "Yes, I told you I drank water. But I never once said I drank it like crazy. So quit putting words in my mouth. I will continue to drink my water. And you're not going to tell me otherwise." But I tell you, that doctor made me so mad. I was just like, I told my husband, I said, when they finally released me and said that I didn't have a blood clot, I said, "Get me out of here and get me home." Because I said, if I see that doctor again, I said, "I'm going to tell him what I think, and it's not going to be very nice." So I said, "You better get me out of here." But, I mean, I was like, and the doctor I was seeing at the time, it was David's company doctor through his employer, because I was on his health insurance at the time. It was when I was still, you know, when I was still working and before I had to quit because of my health issues. And I told that doctor what happened, and that doctor actually gave me his personal cell phone number. He says, "Next time this happens, you call me first before you go to the ER." He says, "I don't want this to happen to you again." And I tell you, he was one of the nicest doctors I had ever dealt with in my life. I really miss Dr. Cradle, seeing him, because he was such a great doctor. But ER doctor was like, "Dude, you have no clue. You don't even know who I am, and you have the nerve to sit there and say you're not going to die tonight when you have no clue."
Yeah, that's typical ER personnel right there. They, and you know, to a certain extent, their defense, you got to kind of cut them a husk, because I'm sure 90% of the people that they see every night are either full of it or have created their own demons, so to speak. So, you know, when you go in there with something legit, you've got to break that wall down getting in there and everything. But, yeah, that's the only time I go to the doctor, and I know I get lectured on it all damn day long. If I get hurt, like when I need stitches or, you know, roll an ankle or something to that effect, I'll go. And as a matter of fact, when I filleted my hand back in 2016, Doc was looking at my chart when they were getting ready to sew my hand up, and he goes, you don't visit us often, do you? And I said, no, only when I do this, and I held my hand up. So I'm sure sooner or later it's going to catch up with me, and I'm going to have to – my concern is I'll go to the doctor feeling like $1 million, and I'll walk out feeling like maybe 12 cents. So but the interesting thing about colonoscopies and meso is that from what everybody's told me, I don't see why they can't just do like a damn MRI on me, because everybody accuses me of being an asshole. So why don't just go ahead and scan the whole thing and be done with it?
I like it.
You know,
no need
to localize anything, you know?
So, well, frankly, the only doctor you need is a proctologist.
Well, there you go. I get Jack Elam to help me out on that one. Was it Cannonball? No, it wasn't Cannonball Run. It was Smoking the
Cannonball
Bandit.
Run. Cannonball Run.
It was Cannonball Run. There you go.
Got Dr. Proctology, and he held up those, like, early arthritic hands with the big knuckles, and he wasn't short. He had the, you know, the big long fingers, big knuckles. Yeah. And he had that syringe he was always shooting himself up with or squirting himself in the mouth. That was great.
What did he say? In my practice, very rarely do I need anything more than this. And he flaps old Burt Reynolds in the forehead with his finger. Cannonball Run was great. Because you're small.
Yeah.
Small. S-M-all. Oh, Dean Martin. Well, gang, we're getting close to that time. We're going to see if we can actually get the thing to not run into 16-17 innings this evening. So what I'm going to do is pass it around the room, as they usually do. And Dr. John has already... Real quick
before we do that, you know, group happy birthday cheer. You know, one, two, three.
Happy birthday, man.
Like Frosty Assumia. Absolutely. Absolutely, and the Play-Doh's in the mail. Look for that Amazon box.
And no, Tim, we know you'll get in trouble with Kim if we actually send you an Amazon.
With an air compressor.
I was going to make reference to back when I was an actual kid in the 80s, and I think we talked about this before on the show. If you mailed away for a G.I. Joe, you sat there, and so if you tell me that you're going to send me Play-Doh, I might as well expect to sit there and wait for about 5 months before it'll actually get here. Making reference
that
to
is true.
Back in the 80s, you'd read about the new G.I. Joe. I think Short Fuse is one of the characters, and you'd send away, and you'd have to send all your proofs of purchase and your money, check, or whatever you're sending. You'd stand there by the mailbox and wait for a good few months, and finally it would come in the mail in a little brown box. The good old days.
Yeah, I sent mine on my Sergeant Slaughter stuff off. I think I was 12 when I sent my Sergeant Slaughter stuff off, and I got it back shortly after puberty. I think I was getting a divorce when the thing finally showed up. So, yeah, you're right. And back in those days, man, when you're a kid, it's kind of funny how that switches up, too, when you get older. When you're a kid, man, time just has a way of just dragging. You know, your mom says, hey, I got to take you to the store. And it's like, you know, a half-hour trip to the store feels like 4 days. Sitting in a waiting room with a doctor is like eternity. Driving anywhere, you're sitting there like
that. Heart still is
in some places, but I mean, driving, it'd be like, are we there yet? We there yet? We there yet? Now you get in the car, you're like, shit, I'm already here. It's kind of funny how things.
I can remember being a kid, and on Thanksgiving, I would think to myself.
Well, it's almost like it was yesterday for you, Tim.
There you go. There you go. But it would be like, my God, Thanksgiving, we're so far away from Christmas, you know? And, like, people would start talking about Christmas, and you're like, oh, my God, that's so far away. And nowadays, when Thanksgiving is here and people start talking about Christmas, I'm like, ah, damn it. We're already here at Christmas, you know? And it's like,
yeah,
it's just like 4 weeks away. And, you know, you can snap your fingers and it goes by. But when you're a kid,
yeah,
my God, it's like you might as well be notching off the marks on your headboard, counting down the days like you're in a jail cell, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You're like Zorba the Greek, live, you know, 900-some-odd years, wait for it to happen. It's, yeah, it's funny. Halloween hits, and, you know, Halloween hits, and you're automatically thinking, I need to start buying shit. Because, like you said, as soon as Thanksgiving hits, it's like it's too late. Yeah.
Game on.
Yeah, too late after Thanksgiving because then everything goes, you know, batshit. But, yeah, time seems to drag when you're a kid, but then the older you get, it's like poof. Except for
all right, who's still left on the line? I know Granny's here, Tim's here, I know Dave's here, I know I'm here. Papa Stroh, you still here, brother?
God willing.
Papa Stroh, you usually have you have a gazillion things going on. Your life is anything but boring. Dazzle us.
Oh, okay. Well, tomorrow night, WCW Retro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VSNation.com. We're talking the history of champion versus champion matches. So, if you guys listen, have a favorite champion versus champion match you'd like to share, call in. Friday night, my hard sci-fi show, The Stroh Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StrohTheMaestro. Friday night's feature will be Earth versus the Spider. So please tune in for that.
Question on that. Is that the one where Clint Eastwood early role was one of the fighter pilots?
I'm not sure.
It was
one of those giant spider
movies. I couldn't remember which one.
It's the original version. I mean, it's the original back in the day. I do know that much. So I'll have to look at it again and see if I can spot them. But, yeah. So Friday night, check it out if you guys can. Upcoming events. I'll be at the Charlotte Comic-Con coming up at the end of this month. And also March 19th, I'll be at Florence Power Comic-Con at the Florence Center in Florence, South Carolina.
That's exciting.
And I have new merch on sale, Papa Stroh Legacy merchandise. I got T-shirts, drinks, yoga mats, door ringers, you name it, all on sale. Just go to thestroh.com/merchandise. Check it out. I'm gonna be on set soon for a future miniseries and also for a feature film. And I got a couple things coming out soon. One of them is going to be a psychological thriller called Hybrid. That'll be coming out soon, so be looking out for that. So, yeah, a lot of stuff
very
happening.
Very nice.
Cool, man.
Very nice.
Yeah, the grass.
It might be a follow-up on something you've already done and all that kind of things, but the Devil's Daughter thing, I know, Papa Stroh, you got nominated for stuff at Cannes, which is, like, just unreal. You were in that thing has kicked butt. You want to bring that back up because right now I seen something Ronald Rossman posted on that, and it was just covered with accolades, and it didn't even come. There was a proviso that it said it didn't have all the awards, and I just don't want people to lose sight of that because that has been pretty amazing.
Oh yeah, it's still winning awards. That's the thing; it's still ongoing, and it hasn't stopped yet. So, and we're up for more awards actually, which is it's pretty darn amazing to think about it. And, you know, for all the hard work we did, you know, even with all the hard work we did, and it was more of a passion project, and we're hoping it would do well. We just didn't know how well, right? And to see all the attention and the camaraderie that it's getting, it's pretty darn amazing. I'm not gonna lie. So, I mean, hats off to everybody for putting it all together.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. Papa Stroll was nominated at Cannes in France, and that is like, look, that is the international gateway drug, if you will, of international film. So, and you guys did get a win out of it, if I remember, but look, Papa Stroll be nominated there. That's massive, brother.
No small feat.
Thank you so much. It's a big honor, and the fact that it's still ongoing is pretty darn amazing. I'm just really honored and blessed to be part of such a great film. Because the film was really great, and I mean everybody just put so much hard work into it. So I mean, I'm really excited about the other projects that came out too. I got one on Vimeo that's out called Stench of Iniquity, which you can watch for free there. And it's more horror-based, even more so horror-based than The Devil's Daughter. But it's got those creep show vibes to it, the Stephen King-style vibe. If you go to Vimeo, just look for Stench of Iniquity in the search. Check it out. And
cool.
And these other products are coming up. So, and the miniseries I'm working on now is more of a more of a horror sci-fi base, which is going to be a lot like the Friday Night project I've been doing the past couple of years, the Show Zone, where I've been introduce people to different horror sci-fi flicks, and this miniseries will have more of a dark humor take to it, kind of like just think of Creep Show and Tales of the Crypt meet Twilight Zone type vibe. So yeah, I hope you all enjoy it when it comes out. And I'll have more information on the tight episodes and everything once everything gets released.
Yeah, keep us posted what's going on. That way we spread the word. Hey, and I appreciate the pic you posted on Facebook today with old Bob Cottle on there from the old Mid-Atlantic days, man. That's where I cut my teeth on the wrestling was David Crockett and Bob Cottle at 11 o'clock on Saturday nights. And,
he was my riding buddy. Yeah, he's my riding buddy. I used to pick him up there in Raleigh, and we used to ride together to the shows and the matches.
Yeah, no kidding.
He was great.
Knowing that guy has got to be an encyclopedia of wrestling, man.
Amazing. And what a humble, nice guy, too.
He seems like it. He seems like a heck of a good guy. And the amount of knowledge that man's probably picked up over the years has got to be incredible. But, yeah, I enjoyed that pick. That was well
pretty
done.
Amazing. No, thank you.
But, yeah, certainly appreciate you joining us this evening. As always, brother, always good to have you aboard, man. So,
thank you all for having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to swat it over there to Granny Hulkster. What kind of parting shots do you have, young lady?
Well, I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week. And like I said, Tim, happy birthday again. And 3 weeks from today, Granny and family and my good friend Brian will be heading to Texas for WrestleMania. And we can't wait. We're so excited.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Can't wait.
That's going to be cool. Yeah. You guys are going to have a blast.
And they keep adding more and more names to the list of people for WrestleCon. I mean, they're going to be continuing to keep adding names up until the 31st of March. And then I noticed today Hacksaw Jim Duggan's going to be there. Oh, good old Hacksaw. I love Hacksaw. It'll be good to see him again.
Hacksaw,
Granny, just for the record, don't be walking around that show yelling, ho.
No, I won't. I won't. I know where you're going with that, Todd. I'm gonna be good. I'm gonna behave myself, you know. I am going to have fun.
Well, clearly.
Yeah.
I want to see the expression on Anthony's face when he gets to meet some of these people that he would normally not ever get to meet. And that's what I'm looking forward to, is to get to, because Anthony's already told me he wants to meet Lita and Trish. He's already told me that.
Imagine that.
Yeah, he ain't alone.
Uh-oh. You'll never get him out of there, Granny, you'll never get him out of there.
We're going to get to see Booker T and Ted DiBiase March 19th at a Comic-Con up here
man.
In Rogers, Arkansas.
Please
and
Booker, my best.
Actually going to be at WrestleCon.
Love Booker.
They're actually going to be at WrestleCon, you know, during that time as well. So we'll get to see them again. So I'm looking forward to meeting Booker T because I have a lot of friends that wrestle for him through Reality to Wrestling down there in Texas. And so I'm looking forward to get to meet Booker.
Booker's good people. Great man. Please give him my best if you talk to him.
I will.
Love him.
I
love Booker, man.
Oh, awesome. Stro, I have a funny story to tell you that Anthony wants to do. And it's not going to happen, but I'm going to share it with you anyways because I know you're going to love it.
Please
remember the night when I called in to WCW Retro and you said you were going to be looking for Granny up in the crowd in the NWO shirt?
Yes, yes.
You remember that?
I do.
Well, Anthony, this is what Anthony wanted to do, and I know it's not going to happen, but he wanted to find a red and black Wolfpack shirt and a black and white NWO shirt. And he wanted to wear the red and black one and have me wear the black and white one with David and Brian standing out in front of AT&T Stadium. And he was going to have me send you that picture. And I said, Anthony, it's not going to happen because you're not going to get me in that god-awful NWO shirt. It's not going to happen.
I'll post that thing everywhere, Granny.
Oh, yeah, I know you would. But he's like, oh, Mom, that would make Stro so happy. That would just brighten his day.
I might even shed a tear if you do that. I mean, that'd make me cry. That'd be amazing. I'd be overjoyed.
You would be crying happy tears, I know. So, but I said, Anthony, it's not going to happen. So we're not going to go. We're not going to do that. You know? But I had to share that story with you.
No, please. Yeah. Let me. Oh, I'll be looking for y'all. I sure will.
Well, it's going to be
I'll
a fun time.
There.
I'll have my drone go to Texas.
Fly around looking for the Granny cam.
Looking for Granny.
The Granny cam.
You guys are a mess. It's a good thing I consider you all my friends.
Oh, we got that going for us.
Yes.
Oh, man.
We've always begun. Trust me. But, Granny, it is always fantastic to have you aboard. Looking forward to that recap. I know we got a little time left before it happens. But, man, that's going to be some once-in-a-lifetime stuff. Looking forward to hearing it. Like I said, that evening the plan is to do the introductions, light a cigar, open a beer, and listen to you talk. So
it just struck me she could change the shirt to NWHO.
NWHO. Yeah, you might want to tell
Hacksaw. You guys are so bad.
Give the man like
you
a piece
so
of pipe instead of that 2x4, because a damn 2x4 is like $16 right now. You don't want to be hitting nobody with that kind of expensive lumber. So, but yeah, definitely good to have you aboard this evening, ma'am. Always great to hear your voice. So, let's go ahead and get the birthday boy on here. Tim, what kind of parting shots have you got, youngin?
Let me take the pacifier out of my mouth. Okay?
Does your mom know you're up this late?
Yeah. Ooh. Hey, you know, there's another one. Going back,
we
I don't know if they did this in your neck of the woods or if this was just a local thing, but I can remember at 11 o'clock at night, if you were privileged enough to stay up that late past whatever show and the local news was getting ready to come on, before it came on, you would hear this thing come across the TV that said, it's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? And then the news broadcast started. Kind of forgot about that. But, yeah, nothing really, no other updates besides what I've already mentioned. Just hoping I can complete everything I'm working on for work this week. God knows the stress that I suffer from that. And hopefully this weekend will be a little bit more relaxing and I can enjoy the 44th. So yeah, the countdown is on for the colonoscopy. I was going to say real quick and then I'll shut up. Oddly enough, and I'm sure I'll get made fun of for this, I should have opened with this to give you all some material. A few years ago, myself and Kim, somebody that we were related to, or I don't know who it was, but somebody was getting a colonoscopy. And we decided, and I think that one of us has done some research on, you know, they're always trying to sell you all this crap that cleans out your guts and all this and that and whatever. And we decided, hey, we should go ahead and do this prep like we're getting ready for it just to clean ourselves out, just a detox. There's nothing else going on. That was the dumbest idea that we ever had because, as I alluded to, the worst part of that whole procedure is the getting ready. Now, I've not had the procedure yet, but I have done the getting ready on a voluntary basis. And it was we had
– What the hell were you thinking?
I don't know. Again, it was a detox thing, and I will never do it again until – actually have to, but I got really
like an upside down volcano here.
So after a while there's nothing else except I swear you see that what do they call it, magnesium citrate, isn't it? That's what they used to give you anyway. And I swear the cherry flavor is what I had going in, and I could see it still looks cherry flavored going out. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes.
But other than that,